Good evening. Hi, Gavin Chandler here from Bannerman Energy. We have the Etango project in Namibia, which is an 8 million ton project that we're about to start developing.
Gavin, good to see you. I haven't seen you since Cape Town, I think, but you've been busy since then. Everyone's extra excited because you've put out your XP and your XT strategies, giving you optionality moving forward. So tell us a little bit about the numbers around that.
Yeah, Matt, hi. Thanks, man. I think for a while now, Bannerman's been talking about the possibility to extend Etango. So we decided we needed to really put some numbers to it that we can actually talk to. So we spent the last 3 months or so evaluating two options. One option, which we call in XP, is the expansion option, which would basically take us from 8 million tons to 16 million tons throughput. And the other option was XT, which is an extension option, where effectively we leave the plant as it is, but we run the life of mine from 16 to 27 years. So those are effectively the two options that we evaluated.
Right. And why do you feel the need to do that now? Because I think when, you know, Bannerman was originally sort of planning this out, you know, years ago, almost a decade ago, you know, they were talking about the sort of a bigger mine, but the market wasn't ready then, was it?
No, the value of that was close to $1 billion. And I think for a small single asset company, significantly large in terms of trying to fund a single project. But the reason why we really bringing it out now is, and before I do that, I must reiterate that the focus of Bannerman remains the construction of the 8 million tons. So that's first and foremost. These two options are just potential future extensions to the life of mine and all the production. So I just really need to be very clear that we're not changing our focus. We're staying very focused on the 8 million tons. But why have we looked at it? So effectively is, with the market as it is and seem to be moving fairly positively, the idea of being able to use the flexibility of having additional tons available to Bannerman as a whole is extremely attractive to us, because potentially we will contract in a large portion of our initial tonnage. And if the market continues to move, it will mean that we have additional tonnage available to us that is uncontracted. And that's obviously financially extremely attractive. However, if the market doesn't necessarily move, the extension option becomes extremely valuable, because then effectively, instead of just the 16 or 15 year life of mine, we've got a 27 year life of mine and effectively enlarged job security.
Right. Okay. I'm intrigued as to how, because obviously this came out about a week ago, and we're a bit late to the party because you've been on a roadshow this week in Australia talking to shareholders. I must make it easy on myself. What were they asking you about?
The idea behind the roadshow was twofold. So the one was actually to introduce myself as the new CEO for Bannerman to the market. And the second was to actually discuss XT and XP. So I think it was extremely well received by everyone that we spoke to, in terms of the fact that there is more to Bannerman than just 8 million tons over 15 years. I think that's quite an important message for everyone that we spoke to. And then also just people wanting to get to know who I am and what I do and why I'm valuable to Bannerman. So that's where most of the questions came from. And I think on the whole, extremely positive. So for me, the first time I've actually met with brokers, et cetera, in Australia. So a new experience for me. Also a first visit to both Melbourne and Sydney for me. So on the whole, really busy 3 days.
Right. And imagine they will be asking about, well, this is great. How does this get funded? But I think, as you said, your plan is still to stick with the current build program. This is just extra optionality. Is that right?
That's correct. So the way we ran the expansion was we would only kick it in probably 5 years into production. So we've already paid off the original project. And then obviously the value of that becomes a lot more real. So the financial assessment was all brought back to the FID date for the Etango 8 project and evaluated from that process. But obviously, once you're in production, paying off your debt, the value actually could potentially increase significantly.
Right. Okay. So that's basically let's take care of that capital structure first. And I'm sure this is an ultrasound sort of topic, so I don't expect you to go in any detail, but I need to understand where you guys are at with regards to conversations. Are you having conversations around funding? Is that coming from Australia or further afield? And do those parties understand, what it is that you've got, and feel comfortable about it? Because I think, it's been such a tumultuous ride. I mean, quite the rocket ship ride for about the last 6 months, and that can make people feel either extremely excited, or if you're a banker, it can also make you feel like sort of slightly unsure. So, just broadly, those conversations, positive, negative?
Yeah, so there was a lot of inquiry around what that strategy is. But I think broadly speaking, it's actually fairly clear. So as you already know, is we started a strategic financial exercise early, at least towards the back end of last year. And that's picked up significant momentum since we got the mining license in December. So we're continuing with the strategic funding activity at the moment. We also have previously investigated straight debt equity funding, and we are aware of what the implications of that are. But we're probably in the very fortunate position of having some flexibility. And that flexibility is related to the cash that we've got in the bank at the moment. So we are taking a cautious approach to finalizing the funding solution. And effectively, that's the way that we want to move forward, is cautious approach, optimizing the value for the shareholders, while at the same time moving the project forward. And because we've got cash in the bank, we are in the privileged position of being able to continue with detailed design, probably towards the end of the year. And at the same time, as you know, we've also started the construction of the access road and the construction water supply line as well. So we're moving the project forward as best we can, while we seriously focusing on the final financing solution.
Okay, and again, because I appreciate the sensitivities around it, but broadly, because we've been party to other conversations, typically companies have been talking about contracting, i.e. getting term contracts in place, yeah, to be able to satisfy the lenders that there's a business going forward. We have, yes, however, also seen some companies talk about maybe trying to run this by selling at spot, selling at market, very uber confident stars. Do you think that you retain the optionality of being able to not have contracts and get the funding in place because of the way the market has evolved? So this I'd like to say, broad conversation, probably a broad answer, yeah, but yeah, really sort of inquiring as to the state of the market and how that has evolved in terms of the confidence of the lenders.
Okay, so from the point of view of contracting, we are still in discussions with various utilities, and it is our intent to lay some contracts in place, because if we do go for debt, it's going to be required. However, I don't think we ever have considered 100% layering in of contracts. So we probably target somewhere around 75-80% of the product into a layered contract format. And we have started those discussions with various utilities.
Okay. And again, it's just, I guess history has a wonderful ability to teach. And I think if we look back at Paladin, perhaps some of the audience will be looking at Paladin and say, well, their strategy was a mistake then. It answers some questions that we've been sent in anyway. Looking forward to this year, you've got cash in the bank. I think last time I spoke to Brandon, it was about 37 million, I guess, 35 million-ish at the moment. You're good, yeah, to run up through to the end of this year. So the kind of key deliverables for you, and I know you can always say that there's always work to do, but in terms of getting conclusion on some of these term contracts, what are the key things that they will be looking for from you to give them comfort about your ability to actually get this thing over the line?
I think at this point, Matt, it's really around having confidence in the fact that we can deliver the project. And I think the steps that we've taken to date in terms of getting the first two contracts placed, moving ahead into detailed design are very key for anyone who we're going to sign contracts with. And they will obviously, when they do their due diligence, want to understand that in more detail. But I believe we'll be able to meet whatever requirements they may have. So I'm pretty comfortable from that perspective that we're in control of that.
Right. And with regards to the design, and quite frankly, even the kind of costing component as well, we've seen a few companies blow up last year, not necessarily in the uranium space, but where they perhaps have used the wrong consultants. They haven't used the kind of quality consultants who've, you know, done it before. Can you remind me, who are you using and why does that lend comfort to the lenders?
Yeah, so for the process plant, we're using Wood. So Wood have actually been involved in this project probably for the last 14 years. I think they did the initial 20 million ton study and have continued through the length of time and stayed with us. However, we've just finished, or we're in the process of finishing off a FEED study, a front-end engineering design. And as part of that front-end engineering design, we went out to market and tendered all of the work, well, the work which is equivalent to 80% of the capital cost. So we've got a fair degree, and we will have a fair degree of comfort around the final capital cost. And the results of that exercise will be effectively a control budget estimate that we will use to manage the project going forward. We had some fairly pleasing results, particularly in terms of construction contracts, where we've seen the competitive environment bringing in fairly good rates for us. So on the whole, we're comfortable. We haven't finished the whole process yet, but at the moment, nothing material in terms of changes to the original published DFS capital cost.
Okay, right. Well, you've introduced yourself to your shareholders and now introduced yourself to this wider audience, Crux Investor audience as well. Gavin, I appreciate you coming on and making the time on a Friday night after a three-day roadshow. That's pretty brutal. enjoy the rest of the time in Sydney, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon and with a little bit more news. Okay,
excellent. Thanks a lot, Matt, appreciate it.